You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Daily Detroit Happy Hour podcast. This is the podcast where we explore Detroit one interesting person at a time. I'm your host, Sven Gustafson. We got a great show for you today. We've come to Detroit's East Side to chat with Carlo Cali Sweeney. He's the founder of the Downtown Boxing Gym. He opened the gym in 2007 in a former car wash to provide kids with a safe place to go after school, but he's since expanded that mission. Today, in addition to teaching the sport of boxing, Downtown Boxing Gym provides help with academics and even nutritional nourishment for disadvantaged kids. Cali, welcome to the Daily Detroit Happy Hour podcast. Thank you for joining us.
It's good to be here.
So, I went over the, I sort of described your gym, but let me ask you to do the same thing. Tell us about the Downtown Boxing Gym. How do you describe this place?
It's a place where kids can go, safe place, a safe environment to go, but it's also a place they can go if they need some help, some additional help academically. It's also a place you can go if you need a meal, if you need a friend to talk to, if you need somebody to hear you out, you know what I mean? And we can just get to the bottom of whatever's going on in your life. Hopefully we can help you out.
Right. Tell us about this facility here that we're sitting in. How big is it? Where this used to be? I mean, it's a full-service boxing gym now.
This is a former bookbinding building. I think it's like roughly about, I want to say close to 27,000 square feet, mm-hmm. something like that, surrounding that area. It's a huge facility. We have a full-time gym, which is pretty much up to date. We have multiple classrooms. That's where the real magic happens at. That's the most important part about this place. It's not just a boxing gym. It's basically a mini school. Mm-hmm. And that's it's a pretty cool place.
So let's rewind here and talk about how this gym originated. I mean, you're from Detroit originally, and did you grow up in more or less this neighborhood, or?
I'm from Detroit East Side. I grew up in not too far from here, but close enough. East Sider my whole life, pretty much.
Okay. And how did you had always boxed when as a youngster? Is that right? You learned how to box.
I learned how to box pretty young, but I was actually always fighting in the streets. I was always getting into trouble. So they thought this would be a good discipline for me to, use it as discipline. And, I could see the potential in that.
And who taught you how to box?
My uncle, my cousin, and one of my brothers.
And you took to boxing at a fairly, how old were you when you learned?
Boxing was around 12 years old. It was just really mostly for the discipline. It was mostly just to be around some male role models, somebody that, it was for the discipline. It wasn't really for me to try and fight. It was just mostly just for the discipline.
So. And so you liked that. Boxing was something you kept with pretty consistently over the years?
Boxing, like I said, it was just like it was something to do for discipline for me. It wasn't like the main thing. It was more so just for the discipline. It was more so to be around some male role models. So. I've always been in and out of the gym in some sort of way, but it wasn't like the main thing I was interested in.
You've talked about your own childhood and coming up as a student and everything and your own difficulties. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, now that we could talk about, in detail. As a young person, I found out at an early age that I couldn't read and write. It wasn't happening for me, so I acted out in various ways. I would either start a fight in school or I would just be the class clown, anything to divert from the real problem, which a lot of kids do to this day. But the only thing about it was that they were pushing me from grade to grade just to get rid of me. And before you know it, I was like almost 11th, 12th grade year before I dropped out. So I see that still going on today. I see kids who are still making it through school who can't read and write. And I see on a day-to-day basis that I'm seeing kids who are honor students, but they're reading at a third grade level or second grade level. So that's not unacceptable.
So what made you decide I want to open a boxing gym?
Because I saw the potential in that. It was something that I know how to do. I don't know how to play basketball, baseball, football. I definitely wouldn't know how to play. I couldn't catch a football or a baseball to save my life. So that's something I do know how to do. So I just said, there is some discipline in that. And so I said I can use that as the discipline, factor. And so I used that with the kids. They came in, they took to it, they told their friends about it, and before you know it, we had a whole following of young people that was interested in the boxing. And so I would start mentoring them from there.
Tell us about the early years of the downtown boxing gym. You were in an old car wash, right?
Correct. We was in an old car wash. The car wash was like, basically the building was falling apart. It was falling apart, you know, as many a times that, you know, the roof would be leaking. You know, you can never heat the thing up no matter how high you put the heat on. You can put the heat on 1,000 and it'd still be cold in there. It would be freezing. But it was a loving environment, a place where a lot of people did a lot of great things. You know, we produced a lot of national champions, some world champions. We also amateur world champions, not professional yet, but we working on that. But we produced a lot of graduates. We produced a lot of people who went on to higher learning and different kinds of, what do you call those, like trades and stuff like that. So that's what I was most proud of, more so than any of the boxing achievements, because the boxing achievements are individual achievements. But when you become a doctor, lawyer, engineer, or you go to a school of higher learning, you know, you make it more appealing for other young people to say, I can do that as well, because I saw this guy, I know this guy. You know, anybody can try and box.
So when you started, was the academics part of the gym program, or did that come later?
It came all basically at the same time, basically, because, like, for me, you know, I'm never going to push a kid towards athletics at all, because the truth of the matter is a lot of kids never would become a professional, any type of sports player at all. So I'm always going to push academics first, because I know that if I'd have had a good education in my life, I could have went so much further, so much faster. So that's always going to be at the forefront for me. So that's all hand in hand right there. You know, my philosophy and my motto is always books before boxing.
So, but yet there is the boxing element. I mean, why do you keep that as opposed to just going straight toward the academic side?
Well, you know what? What I found out is that a lot of kids, when they leave school, you know, you can get peer pressure from a lot of different places, you know, but if you tell them I'm going to a boxing gym, nobody's really, they're going to be like, what? They might want to come with you. But if you say I'm going to another academic program or after I just left school, guys can be like, man, I just left school and I'm not going.
So it's sort of the boxing is the draw, and then
it's the draw. It's definitely the draw. You know what I mean? You can go to a boxing gym, you know, I mean, you can go to a basketball gym, you can go to a baseball diamond, you can go to a soccer field, pretty much anywhere. But boxing gyms are so spread out, so far and few between. When you go into one, it's kind of special.
Right. So let's talk about, you know, sort of your student body, I guess, if you want to call that, for lack of a better term. How many kids do you have coming to the gym at any one time? Like right now, how many kids do you have coming here?
Any day, it varies. It varies, but it's always over 100. There's always over 100. We have currently registered, I believe it's like about 170, 175 kids. We have over 700 on a waiting list. Over 750, I believe, at this point, on a waiting list to get in. But we have 100% graduation rate from school, you know what I mean? So from high school, and most of all our kids are going, like, of age are graduating on time.
You know? That's fantastic, the graduation rate, and congratulations for that. How have you been able to do that? Like, talk to us about that. That's seriously impressive.
That's the crown jewel right there. That's what I like about this program, because I love it. That's it. You know, that makes my day. I'm pretty much, like, you know, I love to hear these stories of kids who are straight F students who are not honor students. Well, I've actually had the opportunity to meet some kids who are struggling with some of the same things that I was struggling with, to see them now honor students, to go from where I was at to honor students. So, I mean, it's not a death sentence. But we are able to do it because we have a lot of volunteers, a lot of support from the business community around town, a lot of support from universities. They send a lot of people down here to help and volunteer and work with the kids one-on-one. We've been fortunate enough to have enough funds available thus far to get some special needed attention for certain kids who need it, some added attention from people who specialize in reading and spelling and stuff like that. So we were able to do that through some generous donations from the corporate world.
So how does it work? I mean, if I'm a kid and I hear about this program and I live in the neighborhood or whatever and I want to be part of it, how does one go about coming? I mean, it's not just a drop-in whenever you feel like it type of thing, I guess, right?
Definitely it's not a drop-in when you feel like it, because, like I said, we have over 700 kids on a waiting list. the way that you do it is by going online and filling out an application online, or you can come here and use one of our computers to fill out an application online. And we do a lottery system so we can keep it fair to the people who've been on there for a long time. And we, when the space becomes available after, you know, the tutors and the teachers, and we have a full, I mean, we have an academic coordinator who's on staff, who's here every day, and she, she'll assess every kid one-on-one and find out where that kid is academically. And from that point, if once she done that and she designate that there's enough room for some more kids, we'll bring them off that list, and we'll do it by like a lottery system, so, you know, it'll stay fair.
When do you determine that somebody is you know, past your program, or I don't know how you call it, but is ready to sort of transition out? I mean, what qualifies somebody to be sort of done, I guess?
Well, our program is from 8 to 18. Eight to 18. Usually by 18, you should be going to college. And so, you know, you're not going to be coming here from college every day. We want to prepare you to go out into the world, and want to give you a fighting chance when you go into, especially going to college, because a lot of kids graduate high school and they go to college and they come right back because they're ill-prepared. I've seen kids who are literally graduating from high school, and they barely have an eighth grade education. And that's unacceptable. So we're trying to, we do enrichment programs. Like, they've been doing computer coding. They've been doing mock trials at the federal courthouse. They've been doing even horseback riding. They've been doing a lot of different things, just enriching their lives. And we're doing math camps all over the whole summer, and reading camps, and just getting them prepared for everything. We've been doing a lot of SAT stuff, and, you know, just getting them prepared and practicing, just so when they go to college, they won't go there and be so far behind their first year till they drop out.
Mm-hmm. And you accept men and women, boys and girls?
Not men and women, but I said from 8 to 18, we have some 7-year-olds and some 5-year-olds here too as well, brothers and sisters, siblings from other kids.
Amazing.
So,
you know, if you're accepted into the program, you come here after school, and I understand you actually go and pick up, you have services, vans to go out and pick up some of the kids.
Yes. Yeah. Well, as far as picking the kids up, we have 5 vans on site right now. I'm looking for some drivers, if anybody out there is interested in that. If you have a chauffeur's license and a good driving record, and you can pass a background check, you know, hit us up at our website. Right. We have vans who go out all across the city and a little bit outside the city sometimes and pick up kids who need to be here. Mm-hmm. So I don't do it myself personally anymore.
Gotcha. You're too busy, I'm sure.
No. I mean, with 175 kids, you know,
well, you gotta be here.
Yeah, I have to be here. I'm like a mentor all the time. I'm like on the spot. No, I go out every now and then sometimes. I still do.
Okay. but I get picked up and I arrive at the gym after school. Talk us through, like, you know, the program and what am I going to do when I first get here?
Well, what you're going to do is if there's a board, when you look at the board, it tells you which kids are going in first. You know, so if you're one of the younger kids, they may cycle you through the language arts, social studies portion of it, and you go through. Some kids who haven't eaten, they'll probably wait for the kitchen to be open so they can grab a meal. They have kids that are on the, they'll be in the reading program where they'll be doing reading. And we have the computer lab will be open, and they'll be doing some stuff in there in the computer lab. And some kids will actually go into a private area where they just work with one-on-one with reading. Okay. For certain kids who need that one-on-one help. The ones who are not going in the first wave and they're out there, if they advance and they have good grades and they don't need to be in there that long, we'll have them start warming up, which is doing their stretches and exercises and stuff like that. And as the first group starts cycling through, we'll start cycling them guys right in behind them.
Okay. So it's for a lot of kids, it's books before boxing, I guess.
Yes. For mostly all of them, it's books before boxing. So we have some kids who are straight-A students. They are already 4.0 students. I mean, like, we have some guys that are testing at a college level, and they're very young, and they're testing at a college level. So we try and get those guys to stretching and working out so we can get them in, like, after the first group, because we actually need a little more space now. The academic program is really taking off. I mean, kids are seeing a lot of good results, and it's just more and more kids who just really want to do the academic portion.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about the academic portion. Who is you know, conducting your tutoring program and everything, like, who do you hire or bring on to help the kids?
Teachers or?
Well, we have teachers, professors. We have teachers, professors. We have people who specialize in certain areas like reading and stuff like that. We like I said, we were fortunate enough to get enough money to hire some people. You know, it costs a fortune to do it, but it's well worth it. You know, if you can teach a kid to read right now, you know, he'd be more productive and helpful in our society and be helpful and bring something back to the community that where he comes from. So he definitely is always better to have a kid who's ready and prepared, you know what I mean, than to have a kid who's not prepared.
So then going back to the, you know, kind of the day in the life of you're doing your academics and your tutoring and everything, and then, you know, eventually you'll get cycled out into the gym and warm up and do everything. How late are kids here at night?
We're from 4 to 7, Monday through Friday. Unless you have unless we have a special event on the weekends.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is a good thing for the kids. I mean, talk about what a lot of these kids were doing before they came into the boxing gym. What were their alternatives, I guess?
I mean, you know, for a lot of kids, you know, the city is moving in a positive direction. The city is moving, and I mean, I'm actually proud of the city right now. I'm proud of our city council and our people who are at the top and at the helm. I'm proud of what they're doing with the work in the city, and a lot of these guys who are investing in the city, I'm real proud of what's going on. But at the same time, there's a lot of spots that the city that haven't been reached yet, and a lot of places have that money hasn't trickled down to them yet, just quite yet. And so these kids don't really have a place to go. They don't have any alternative. So, I mean, you know, I can only imagine what they're doing in their neighborhoods and what's going on because, you know, it's still a rough place in some areas, yeah. You know, so I can't speculate, but I'm sure it's some rough areas that they live in.
Yeah, sure. What are sort of like an average, pupil that you come across? I mean, like, what kind of things do you see? What age and sort of home situation? What's a common story?
I mean, you know, we all have our trials and tribulations. I mean, I can't, you know, something that may be rough to the next person that's looking at it, you know, it may just be a normal day in our life. You know, a lot of our kids are coming from, you know, where you have to choose between the light and gas bills and to buy a pair of shoes for your son or your daughter. A lot of people are living from paycheck to paycheck, so that trickles down to their kids. They're having some, you know, I mean, it's just a rough life for some people, you know what I mean? So we're just trying to help wherever we can. I mean, you know, it's just...
Yes.
To you, or the average listener, it may be, you know, like, wow, that's bad. You know, for us, it's like we've been there, but we're trying to get out of that.
Sure.
So,
are you you're getting funding from, as you mentioned, a lot of the businesses, and I think you get some foundation support too, right, from some nonprofit groups?
Yeah, currently the corporate world has been instrumental in helping us keep this program going, but it's only so much that they can give.
Sure.
You know, we always need more. Because of the job that we do, you know what I mean? So it costs a lot to have an academic coordinator. It costs a lot to have vans and to pay for drivers and a full-time, you know, teachers around.
Right.
So
if people out there who are listening are interested in finding out about, you know, making a donation or whatever, how would they do that?
They can go to our website, which is downtownyouthboxing.org. That's downtownyouthboxing.org. Let me slow it down for you. Because we definitely need some help. We definitely need to keep this going. It's a wonderful thing. It's helping a lot of people, you know. You know, it's a rough life. It's a rough world out here. So we need it. We all need to help. Most of our kids, we do community service, and all of our kids do community service because that's their way of giving back. You know, we have to give back to our community. We have to step up and help move our community forward. And a lot of these kids are definitely willing to do that. And so they just need, you know, a fair shot like everybody else.
So what keeps you motivated to keep doing this?
What keeps me motivated? Well, you know, anytime I can see a group of people who come from all different walks of life and we all going for the same common goal and we share some of the same principles and things like that, you know, it's just like every day I look forward to coming here. I love doing this. I love seeing the underdog, you know, win. I just do, you know, whenever I see people who are like, you know, not expected to do certain things and they do it and they accomplish it, it's like, all right, I want to see that more. You know, I've seen kids who are like told that they need medication. I've seen kids who are told that they had learning disabilities. They didn't have a chance at doing certain things. And now those kids are honor students you know, I want to see more of that. I want to see more success stories like that.
How long you want to keep doing this? Like, you think you want it? This is,
you know, for me, I want to continue doing this as long as God has me on this path. You know, I was brought out of a bad situation myself. You know, I've been shot. I've been seeing a lot of my friends die, go to jail. I've seen guys be like killed right near me, like I'm standing right a couple feet from a guy being killed. You know, I've seen some horrible things out here, and I've seen guys who if they had known that it wasn't a death sentence because they couldn't read or write, they might not have focused so much energy into negative things. They would have put their lives on a correct path to getting redemption. Like myself, I went back to school because all my life I was told that, you know, without your education or without this or without that, you know, it's a death sentence. You'll be dead before you're 21. So all I heard was no encouragement, just negative. You know, I wish I had somebody to encourage me. But so now we want to make sure that these kids have another path, you know, let them know that's not a death sentence. They can come back.
That's great. And once again, remind us of the website in case people want to learn more or want to make a donation.
It's downtownyouthboxing.org.
All right. Well, Kali Sweeney, thanks so much for joining us. I really enjoyed it. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Good to meet you, too.
That's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks to Kali Sweeney of the Downtown Boxing Gym for joining us. Before we go, we'd like to ask you for two favors. One, please consider leaving a review of this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you found us. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please consider sharing it on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, wherever you like to spend your time online. And don't forget to check out more great content on dailydetroit.com and email us at dailydetroit@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.